morning, everybody.
Morning.
All right, this is a little smaller room than I'm used to.
I'm a pretty loud person, so
try not to get too crazy
here. All right. Today we're going to be talking about really
how making disciples, right? But at the same time, like, that it requires sacrifice. In the verses we read, you can see right here, right? In 1 John 3:6, it kind of tells you exactly what is required of us. We know love if we lay down our life for our brothers. And so in this verse, it's obviously talking about laying down our life. You know, the disciples, they go to the cross just like Jesus did. But also you see here where it goes even deeper. It means sharing all your goods, sharing everything that you have to help everybody else, right? This is truly the sacrifice that we should be doing, not just our life. Because you guys think it's easier to give up all your stuff for the rest of your life or just to die instantly? Who thinks it's easier just to die instantly for somebody? Okay? Who thinks it's easy to live a whole life giving up all your stuff? No? All right. I've done both, and it's a lot easier to just die instantly, right? Because you don't have to live with the consequences of losing all your stuff and, like, living a minimum life. All right? But for the most part, we're going to look at both sides, right? This first side, laying down our lives, what kind of strength that takes. I love this verse here in Isaiah, where it talks about, like, you're pouring yourself out, right, for all those in the past. It worked when I started, and then, let's see. Okay, there we go. Same in Isaiah, right? If you pour yourself out for the hungry, satisfy the desire, then your life shall rise. The Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your desire, right? Make your bones strong. And so we see a lot of this is going to come from God. Sacrifice comes from God, the inspiration, the strength, everything that he gives you. So I'm going to tell a little bit of stories really about what it looks like to lay down your life. All right, so as we talk about why does God want sacrifice? Because the reason why he wants sacrifice is that it leads to multiplication. When somebody lays down their life for something, somebody is willing to sacrifice, it inspires everything. Right? Jesus going to the cross for us all, this kind of shows us this is true, right? Right now, he sacrificed himself 2,000 years ago. It's still impacting us today. Right, all of us are here because of that sacrifice. Around him, they want to sacrifice as well. And we've just seen Christians throughout history sacrifice, 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 to where right now we want to do the same thing. Right? We recognize the sacrifice, we want to follow it. We want to be inspired by it. So you can see how much sacrifice really impacts us. That's why the apostles, the Christians that did this. And so as a young man, I grew up here in San Jose. I grew up 18 years. I served 10 years in the Army. I went to Iraq, Afghanistan. I jumped out of planes for the Army. I trained to jump into other countries and take over other airports, right? So that way we can land in on the rest of our troops. So I got to do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of crazy things. And through this, obviously, God gave me a lot of strength. When I was a baby, God saved my life. I got really sick. Doctors thought I was going to die. There was no answer. My dad prayed, and God gave me an answer that would save my life. As I grew up, I had a lot of strength, a lot of physical strength. Right? I was a really good fighter. And my dad kind of told me what happened in my life, how God had saved me, that the strength I have is pretty unique, right? Especially how sick I was, how weak I got. And so I knew God always wanted me to be a soldier. I knew he gave me all these gifts. But at the same time, I knew he wanted me to live out this same principle, right? To be able to sacrifice, to really love people well, and lay down my life for my brothers. When I was in high school, 9/11 happened. At the time, I was a junior. I was a junior in high school. My sister actually went to school in New York at that time. 2 weeks earlier, her and my parents were out visiting all the sites, and I was like, you know, they got to see everything before they dropped her off to college. 2 weeks later, 9/11 happened, right? And so,
obviously, there was a lot of fear. Everybody was worried about my sister. Everybody was like, man, what happened, right? And so, as I saw that happen, I could see that fear. I could see, like, man, everybody, the whole country was changed, and I wanted to go fight. I wanted to go do something about it. And so, I wanted to go lay down my life to protect freedom for my family, for all my loved ones here. And so I was willing to go and fight. So I joined during a time of war. And so as I joined, all the guys that I served with, right, all the women and men that served, they all had that same compassion. They all joined after we were attacked. They all wanted to lay down their lives for what they believed in. And so I was always inspired. I was always really encouraged to be like, okay, this is what it's about, right? We're going to do all these things. And so I actually went to Iraq in 2006, and it was a place called Ramadi, Iraq. And so if you know anything about the wars, anything about the different locations, 2006 was the most dangerous year. That's when they had the most deaths. And Ramadi, Iraq was the most dangerous city of that year, right? So when I went, I got to go see the most, I got to live in the most dangerous place at the most dangerous time. And so it was going to be a great experience. It was going to be a very foundational time for my faith. But really, it was going to give me chances to now actually live out these the scriptures, right? Live out Jesus's teachings. Am I willing to lay down my life for my brothers? And so as I was living there, I did a lot of different work. My main job was engineering. I used to build, I did all the buildings and roads and stuff like that. I built hospitals and stuff while I was out there. And so while we were there, there was like a 30-day period where we were just getting bombed every single day, right? They would launch rockets, mortars, all this other stuff. And so somebody died every single day, right? That's how bad it got. And so anytime you went to walk from like one building to another, the enemy could kind of see you, right? They had like binoculars, they'd be spotting you, and then they try to launch bombs at you while you're walking from building to building. And so most people try to rush everywhere. You had to wear body armor the whole time. Everywhere you went, you always had your armor on. And a lot of people like tried to, they minimized ever going anywhere, right? They tried to do as much as they could in their buildings or in their rooms. Like they just did not want to go outside because it was very dangerous. And so one day I had to go to work, and I had to walk. I had to walk a pretty good distance. And so halfway through, when I'm walking, I see a guy. This one soldier, his vehicle is broken down, right? So he's really struggling. He's really frustrated because he knows that the enemy can see him right in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, "Hey, that's a perfect person to try to blow up." Does that make sense? Because he needs that vehicle. He needs to take his vehicle from point A to point B to complete his mission. So he can't leave that vehicle and try to run to safety. He's stuck. And so as he's there, he's really nervous. He's scared, and he's a new soldier, so he don't really know the vehicles that well. And so he's in a really bad situation, right? So as I'm walking up and I see him, I'm like, "Oh man, like, hey, you need some help," right? He's like, "What?" I was like, I know the vehicles pretty well. Like, maybe I can help you, right? And so he's like, "Don't you want to get to safety? Don't you want to go off? Like, you know, it's pretty dangerous." And I was like, "Nah, man, I'm good. Like, I don't want to go to be safe in my spot, and then you're stuck here getting blown up," right? I was like, "I'm willing to help you. Like, let's work." He worked in the same building I did, and I was like, "Dude, let's work on this vehicle together. I'll show you how to fix it. And then that way we can all just drive to work and be both safe," right? And so as we're there, we start, I figure out what's wrong with the vehicle. I teach him how to fix it. And I'm like, "All right, so the vehicle's good." And like, we drive off to work. And so as we get to the building, we get inside, right, where it's safe, and we start having a conversation. And he's like, "Dude, why'd you stop?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, he's like, why'd you risk your life to help me out?" And so I was like, "Well, to be honest, I'm a Christian, right? This is what I believe in. I believe in sacrificing my life. I believe in, you know, helping somebody in need. You were in need. I thought this was the right thing to do. I was willing to risk my life for it." And so he was kind of shocked. He's like, "What? Like, I've never seen you at church." And so on this main base, it was a little tiny chapel that people could get together for services. But my work schedule never allowed me to go to church, right? I was always out and doing all the missions. So I never got to go to church with them. And so I was like, "Well, I just read the Bible on my own. Like, every night I'm always reading a couple hours. I just, you know, that's how I strengthen myself. That's how I keep building up my faith while I'm out here. I just read every night I get a chance to, and just keep reading about God, reading about Jesus, what he does." And so I was like, that's what's kept my faith solid in this really tough place. And so I was like, "It's all about me being a Christian." And so he's like, "I get that." He's like, "But you know what's crazy?" He's like, "Well, I was out there. There was six Christians that I went to church with that walked right on past me." He was like, "They were too afraid. They did not want to risk their lives. They were like, you know, we're going to pray for you that your vehicle gets running quickly, but we're going to go on our own." Right. And so as I heard this, I was like, man, like, it kind of helped me understand, like, not every Christian's willing to lay down their life, right? Like, not everybody's willing to make that sacrifice. And so I as we were talking, he was like, "You know, how come you were willing to do it and they weren't?" And so I shared. I was like, "Well, you know, God saved me as a baby. God did all these things to where, like, my every day has been a gift from God. I can't, every single day that he gave me, I've used to try to live it for him. So if I died, you know, helping you, then I'm okay with that, because all the days I got before that was always a gift from God. So I have no problem laying down my life, because I would have no life without Jesus anyways," right? And so he was kind of like impressed with it, and he's like, "Man, maybe we could do some Bible studies, right? Maybe we could hang out." So I'm like, "All right, yeah, just come to my place afterwards," right? And so as we, the end of the workday, he came by, and that's what we started doing, right? I started talking all these different ways God has saved me, guided me as a kid, do all these things where, like, he built me up perfectly to be able to be ready for war and do all these things, right? So after a couple of days of Bible studies and just talking faith and talking life, he started inviting more and more people, right? He was like, "Hey, these Christians that, walked by him," he was like, "Dude, you guys should come hear this guy. Like, you should see what it's about." And so we just kept growing and growing and growing. So I started hosting all these Bible studies in my off time, right? So it was a little bit of sacrifice on my personal time, but I really wanted to encourage people, encourage their faith, right? And so the, one of these things, the point I put up there is sacrifice leads to multiplication. The reason why we're required of it is because when somebody sacrifices, it really does make an impact, right? And so I got to strengthen all these Christians in this really tough time of war. But then I started building up this reputation. They're like, Joaquin's pretty crazy. Like, he's pretty, like, out, like, he's willing to, like, really die for this, our causes. And so the funny part is, the more I was willing to sacrifice, the more they put me in more dangerous situations to make even bigger sacrifices. At one point, we call it a convoy team, right? So basically what the convoy team does is they escort people from point A to point B, either personnel or equipment. Their job is to, you know, fight the enemy off and die if necessary to get them, the main people to where they're supposed to be, right? Or the main equipment to where it needs to be, because that's more important than one soldier's life. And so they ended up, one of the guys got killed by a roadside bomb, and they needed to replace him. And they're like, you know, so everybody's like, who's willing to join that team, especially after a death, right? Because nobody's volunteering after somebody just got killed. And so as everybody was thinking it, so I got voluntold, right? Not volunteered, but voluntold. They're like, you know, you're pretty brave. You know, we think you could be really, you could do well in this team. Maybe you can, we'll give you a tryout, right? So as I joined this team, they're like, you know, you have this reputation. You jumped out of planes. You did all this other stuff. You definitely are a combat warrior. But we'll see what happens when the bullets fly, how you respond, right? Because this job is more about sacrifice than it is about your fighting ability, right? So as I joined this team, they're like, they were trying to decide what vehicle they put me in. So there's six trucks that we have, and they're all positioned like north. One guards the north, one guards the east, one guards the west, one guards the south, right? And the two vehicles in the middle are like the leader and then the medics, right? And so as we have these positions, they're like, everyone has a certain responsibility. And so they're like, we're gonna try Joaquin in the last truck. And so the last truck is, we call it rear security, and their job is to draw the fire of any enemy so that the rest of the five can get away, right? So so if they start attacking the front of the convoy, everybody's job is to speed up, and then the sixth truck will slow down so that they can get shot at. That way everybody gets away, and then you have to escape at the very last minute, right? that's the job of it. And so when I got put in this truck, they're like, we know you're willing to sacrifice. We'll see how much. Right. And so I'm like, we'll see if you're going to panic. If you got start getting shot at, maybe you'll panic and just drive. And I was like, trust me, I ain't going to panic. I know what my job is. I know my job is to get everybody to safety. So I will lay down my life. I was like, when we get shot at, I will park the truck and just continue to get shot at until you guys tell me to move, until you guys can't take it no more. And we go. And these are two guys that have been shot at a lot. Right. They've been in this truck for a couple months. And so they're like, nah, this guy's kind of arrogant. We'll see. And so thankfully, the first day that we went out on mission, we got shot at, right? And so as we're going out, we're driving, all of a sudden on the left side, all the these buildings are start shooting fire everywhere, right?
About three or four positions of just bullets coming out everywhere. And so as this happens, right, everybody's like, all right, everybody speed up, move on, right? And so I just literally parked the truck, right? And so as we're there, all of a sudden, there's just bullets raining on our truck. And so we have a gunner that sits on top. He kind of ducks down because he doesn't want to get shot. And so they're like, what are you doing, right? What are you doing? Like, and so I was like, what did I tell you guys? I was like, I'm going to park the truck. And so as I'm saying this, there's literally bullets hitting all my side, right, on the windshield. Right? And so the armor will uphold for only so much time until eventually it'll crack and break. Right? So you can see there's just bullets hitting everywhere on my side. And I'm just sitting there calmly like, I told you guys, I'm not moving until you tell me to. And they're like, all right, like, let's go, right? And so... I was like, all right, this is the plan. When I count to three, you're going to pop up as the gunner and start shooting at the 10 o'clock position. Right? So I was like, ready? One, two, and then I punched the gas. And so as we started going forward, now the bullets are behind us. And I was like, three. He pops up, just starts dropping, you know, bullets everywhere. Right? And so now we're able to escape. We're able to get away. And no casualties. Right? And so as we get back, everybody's like, what happened? Like, we saw your guys' truck stop. And they're like, Chavez is freaking crazy. Right? Like, this dude is nuts. Like, he literally parked the truck. Right, like he, and so, but that's, they're like, why'd you do that? And I was like, I told you guys, like, you need me to sacrifice, right? That's why the vehicle slowed down. It's supposed to be the sacrificial lamb. Eventually, everybody gets away, and then you have to try to go, right? So I was like, in order for our team to be strong and believe, like, hey, you know, we have somebody in that position that will sacrifice, you need to do something extreme to prove yourself. And so I was like, if we have a lot of doubt and you don't trust me, then there's going to be a lot of rough missions or a lot of mistakes. But if I prove myself on day one, then we're good to go, and we're going to stay a lot safer, right? So I had to show you guys I'm willing to sacrifice. And so right then and there, like, that whole team was like, man, this guy he believes in it, right? Like, he really believes in his faith. He really is going to do it no matter the situation. And so as I did this was only my tryout. They're like, okay, now we're going to put you in a more dangerous position. So then like, you get promoted. So the most dangerous position is what's called the scout vehicle. So your job is literally to go find bombs and either find the bomb or get blown up by the bomb so nobody else behind you gets blown up by it. Right? So whenever we're like, hey, you know, there's a road we got to go down, send a scout, let him go by himself. And then when you're by yourself, you're very easily to be attacked by the enemy. Right? So your job is to draw the fire and then everybody will kind of support you. But the scout is always, that's the most dangerous vehicle. So somehow my sacrifice led to a promotion, or that was the promotion. And so as I did this job, I had this team, I had a new team, right? And so I kind of had this teaching, like my faith has always led me, God has always inspired me. God, you know, I follow Jesus' example of protecting my sheep, right? I'm a shepherd, my job is to protect everything. And so as I had all these opportunities to witness them, to, you know, do these crazy things, I'm like, it's always become God. It's always the way he guides me, he's really inspired me. And so one day, this is the very end of like the major conflict time. There's actually a movie called American Sniper. If you've ever seen it, it actually lines up with some of the events that I went to. So basically, he was there at the same time I worked there. And so I used to tell this story years before the movie came out, and nobody believed me. But then the movie came out, and I was, all my friends were like, all right? And so as we were, this end time was reminding me, basically the army, the military was like, we're taking over Korea, that was really taking time. And they're like, now we're going to take over the city of Korea, Ramadi, and bring peace to it. And so in order to bring peace, it's going to take a lot of fighting and a lot of the strategy was they were going to build all these towers around the town, and then it was super good. So as we're building, and it's very dangerous to build all these towers, right? Because enemy knows we're coming, so they're going to kind of blow us up and kill us all. And so as we're building this last tower right on the edge of the Euphrates River, one of the key spots in the city, they're like, there's this really long dirt road that they're constantly attacking, constantly blowing up vehicles, and it's just so remote that we can't ever secure it and protect it. And so they're like, this is going to be, we're going to go all out and put all the measures in. And so the if you guys are going to be now in conflict, right? If you also, I can know the enemy's going to be really serious about conflict. And so as we're going, they're like, we're going to give you guys, you know, all these vehicles with towers, you know, all these walls and things like that. And they're like, we're going to give you also a tank to help give you more security, right? Like, if you have a tank, the enemy usually won't attack you. And so they're like, your six vehicles are a little bit more vulnerable, but we have these really powerful tanks. They're like, you should be good. And so at the time, they're like, we should have tanks protection, not good. The guy is left with that. And so in this moment, they're like, okay, we need to drive this road. Our team is doing that good, and we drive to like this road. And so we're like, oh man, like this is a very unsecure road. It's very big. It's been blown up all the time. I don't know what it is. And so as we're driving, the vehicle in front of me, and I'm the second vehicle, we're basically like, we align our tires to drive our next one. Right? So we're trying to like cover as much road as possible. But I'm just like a little bit offset to try to be able to set any type of bomb. And so as both of our vehicles drive across this long, unsecure road, we get through it, and we're like, okay, it's clear, there's no bomb. Right? And so as we get over there, we call up, like, go ahead, there's going to come a bomb. And so as all the vehicles, everything comes into this compound that we're going to build, these towers, all of a sudden the tank is like, okay, I'm actually going to slowly hide you guys, give you some text on the building. And so as the tank got halfway there, it got blown out. And so there's something called the pressure plate bomb. So basically, you have to set both plates to set off the bomb. Right? And so the way they designed this bomb is they put this plate all up apart that my vehicle do a tank. The tank had both plates to set off. It's completely designed in the boat. So they knew we were going to, so the tank was, they knew the tank was coming, they knew it was going to be done. It doesn't happen. Right? And so as this bomb went off, basically they put a tank in the bomb. They put a whole big tank on the bomb. And they put a whole tank on the bomb. And basically they set up all the bombs to make a ton of the fucking tank. They blew up this tank 70%. Right? And so as they blew it up, there was only one road in, and so now we're trapped. And so we're like, oh man, that was a perfectly designed bomb. I mean, it was everything that was packed up. Right? So now we're like, we're living in the process. And so there was this little bridge going over the bridge. And so the military would never go over bridges that don't have bridges. It's so easy to put bombs on them, it's so easy to have trap on them. There's one main bridge in the city that you have only good to do. And you have multiple things.
And so you have, you always, like that one bridge you guard 24/7, right? And it's just like huge amount of vehicles and personnel. And so once we're looking at this dirt bridge, it's not like an American bridge where there's all these side rails, it's super wide, you know, you have plenty of room. It's a very skinny bridge with no side rails. It's literally just, it's meant for like little carts, like it was designed for like animals, right? Like they go over the Euphrates. And And so my boss was like, man, we're trapped here in this state. You know, there's no moving it, right? We're stuck. And so they're like, we need somebody to go across that bridge to see if it's passable and if we can get out on that time, right? And so now there's like two scout vehicles at the time on this. There were two teams there with two scout vehicles. And so they're like, who's going to go over that bridge to find out if this is passable? And so both scout vehicles look at each other like, no way, right? Like, this is crazy. Like, we don't do this. Like, what? Nobody, this is way too crazy. And so we're sitting there thinking, like, one of us is going to get voluntold no matter what, right? Like, that's the way it's going to work. They're like, anybody want to volunteer? No? Okay, then guess what? Right? Thank you for your service. And so as they're looking at us, as both teams are kind of like, yeah, we hope this is not us. I just heard God say, like, you can do it. Right? And so I'm like, okay. And so as I was like, I was like, my team will go. And they're like, what? So my two teammates that are in my truck, they're like, what are you doing? Right? Like, why did you volunteer for that? And so I was like, don't worry, I got this, right? And so they're like, what? And so as they're like, okay, you guys go. And so they're like, all right, you guys go. And then the other truck will stay in this position and guard this area. And so we're like, okay. And so as I go to my team, they're like, what are you thinking? I was like, dude. I was like, God told me that I can do this. Like, I got a plan. So I was like, I got a plan. And they're like, what is it? I was like, I don't know yet. I'm waiting for him to come. Right? And so as I was thinking, I was like, give me a second. Like, right? And so as I thought about it, God was like, all my experiences of driving, doing all this stuff. Obviously, it was tough that guy got killed, right? But at that point, they're like, we need to get out of here. We end up pushing the tank out of the way. We drive back to our base. And so as we get to the base, a couple of the trucks try to take the guy to the ambulance, right? He was shot through his chest, right through his plate. And so he has a very low risk of a 0% chance of surviving, but everybody's going to try, right? So they took him to the hospital.
And so my vehicle, we stayed behind at the gate once we got inside. And so as we all looked at each other, me and the other two guys, we just started celebrating, like, ah, right? Like, we're holding it, like, dang. And so, you know, obviously it was sad that somebody died. But at the same part, like, we were kind of proud. Like, hey, we took on the greater risk. We took on the greater challenge. Like, we did what we were supposed to, right? And then so they were like, how did you know? And I was like, man, what have I told you? Like, God has you, right? Like, there's nothing. If he asks you to do the sacrifice, you got to do it. And so through that, right, like, I showed them a lot, and now their faith in God, like, really grew. That makes sense. Like, everybody was like, dude, this guy took on the most dangerous thing because God told him to, and it worked out, right? And that's where it was like, it was this foundational thing for my faith, but for everybody else. They're like, it's not really sacrifice if God's asking you to do it, right? If God is asking you to do it, it's going to impact and do something else more special. You just have to be willing to take that chance. And so that's where, thankfully, God showed me, like, hey, like, laying down your life is easy. Like, it's really easy if you trust me, if you understand that I'm going to use it for something bigger. And so as we understand that, right, obviously, that was a very special season of my life. It's more to sacrifice than just your life. And so the next point that we look at, because for the most part, most of you aren't going to be going out trying to lay down your life for people, right? And so as I'm trying to relate to you, understanding, like, what sacrifice means, especially in that first verse that we looked at, sharing your goods, sharing everything that you have. And so this is 1 Corinthians 9:22-23. It says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in the blessings. And so as he's talking about this, there's a very big section. I just cut it down to the last part of it. But he's saying, like, to the Jews I became like the Jews. To the Gentiles I became like the Gentiles. To all these people, I did everything I could to be able to witness to them and find a way to save them, right? To share the gospel, to share all these things. I sacrificed my preferences. I sacrificed what I thought was important, and I did it for all of them, and I did it for the sake of the gospel. And so Paul definitely lives that out. We understand this, right? But this is where, for all of us, we have to give up our comforts to make someone else comfortable. Christ found ways to reach everyone. When you really look at how he lived, you know, he's getting water from women at the well when that's not culturally normal, right? All these different things. Eating with people that he's not supposed to eat with, all this stuff. He did all, he found every single way to give up his preferences to be with people. Obviously, he still followed God's laws, followed the holiness that he's supposed to, but everything else that was, you know, just a preference, he gave up. And so in these seasons, right, Paul looked to Christ. All of us are supposed to look to Christ to sustain us while we're giving things up. And more importantly, our actions will make disciples that will make the same sacrifices. And so when Paul is doing all these things, giving up all this stuff, he's literally writing to all his disciples, you should make the same sacrifices. I'm following Jesus' example, so should you, right? Like, this is what it takes to multiply, what it takes to really make people, right, that are living out the gospel. And so obviously all of you can tell I'm not Chinese, right? I'm a Mexican guy, and I'm working at an all-Chinese church, right? And so I can say about giving up your preferences, but I'm also living it out, right? And so when I went to Hawk 3, it was in the middle of the pandemic. Everything was on Zoom. Everybody shut down. And the reason why I went to all Chinese church is when the start of the year happened, I was doing a multicultural class. And so it was all of us really trying to talk about how, as a church, we can really embrace every culture, find ways to bridge all the context and things like that. And so when everything started happening with COVID, and there was a lot of the Asian hate going on, I had two classmates. One was Chinese, one was Korean. And so the Chinese guy was talking about all the hate, Asian hate that he was getting. And he was like, even from fellow church people, right? Even from fellow Christians. He's like, I've had these friends in ministry, things like that. And then all of a sudden, they're saying these things, posting these things that are really, like, hurting us, right? And the Korean guy was saying the same thing. Like, everybody's saying all this stuff to me because they think I'm Chinese, so they're saying this, this, and this, right? And so they were just kind of showing, like, man, like, even when people are panicking, when people are afraid, the worst comes out of them, right? And so as I was thinking about this, I started thinking, I was a youth pastor at a couple other churches. Most of the work I've done, I trained a lot of youth leaders in other churches and built their programs up for them. And I was like, man, I was like, I don't know what's next, God. But I know where I want to be, right? I was like, I want to work with the Chinese youth. And I was like, I remember how important God was in my youth, as all the foundational stuff that he put in me to, like, my identity, my strength, that I was his child, right? That I was part of his family, that Jesus died for me because I'm his brother. And so it was so precious to me. That's why I was able to do all these crazy things in the army, do all this other stuff, why I was so willing to sacrifice, because it was what Jesus did in my life and the foundation he built as a youth, as a kid. Right, because I left at 18, I grew up very fast, right? But it was always because of what Jesus already did and showed me. And so I was like, I would hate to see any youth have that same experience kind of be torn apart or, you know, taken away because of how Christians are treating them, how Christians are viewing them as not being one family. And so I joked with all my youth, like, I came here to prove to you that we're one family. I came to your house, came to your place, right? I'm coming to do all the things that you want to do. And so I was like, I'm willing to give up all my preferences in order to be with you guys, right? And so it's been a good journey. It's been a lot of fun. If you guys know how different I am from Chinese culture, before I served at this church, I never ate tofu, and I had a life goal to never eat tofu, right? I'm a big meat eater. I've traveled the world. I've worked with all kinds of cultures throughout the world, and I've sampled the best meat dishes of every culture, and they're all wonderful, right? I was like, they're amazing. And so I was always like, why would anybody eat a meat substitute instead of eating meat? And so as I was little by little trying to, you know, bridge culture with all my youth and my church, even when 2023 started, right, when the New Year's happened, everybody was trying to make me eat tofu. And I was like, this is my resolution for the new year. I was like, I'm going to live a tofu-free 23, right? And so I was preaching, like, come on, everybody. I was like, tofu-free. And so as they obviously were like, what the heck? Like, this guy is insulting our food, right? And so even when 24 happened, I was like, tofu no more in 24, right? And so I was always joking with them, always experiencing that. But for them, I've eaten all the dishes, right? I've even made, like, tofu for them. I've done, like, the deep-fried tofu, fried tofu, all this stuff, the tofu desserts, things like that. And they're all really good, right? I was willing to try them, willing to experience it, but I was always giving up my preferences. I was always like, if this is what your food you love, I'll learn to like it and make it, right? So I cook for my youth every Friday. I do all these Chinese dishes. I do like the Chinese. I learned how to do Chinese spice, all this other stuff, right? For that reason, so I want to appreciate your culture, appreciate who God made you. That way, we can kind of keep building and building and building. And so even as I've sacrificed a lot the first couple of years, you know, I've told them, like, the reason why is because I want them to do the same. I want them to have that same idea of being willing to sacrifice their preferences to bring other people in, right? Because as I told them, I've worked with a lot of monocultural churches, and every place I've gone, everybody doesn't fit in, right? Even within their own culture, their own same location, same upbringing, everybody's different. Everybody has different likes. They see things very differently, right? Different family values, all this stuff. And so in the churches, you always see these small groups, right? Like, everybody has their own little clique type stuff, where it's like nobody's truly united, even within their own group. And so I was like, because I'm at a church where I'm guaranteed not fitting in, I'm not like nobody else, that's okay, because I'm going to make an environment where everybody belongs. I'm going to be like, this is a group that everybody can be themselves, and we don't have to change. That means I didn't eat tofu because they forced me to, right? I was like, I'm willing to try it, but I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to love what I love. I'm still going to like these foods, right? But I'm going to find areas, foods that we can share, experiences we can share. And so through that, like, our youth group is very strong. We have a lot that understanding, like, every one of us belongs. Every one of us is special. Every one of us was specially designed by God to live out a special purpose, right? And that's come from somebody being willing to make the sacrifices first. That way everybody else does it as well. Because there's nobody in my group that can say, I don't want to be uncomfortable. Nobody else will. Right? But like, excuse me? Right? Like, what? Right? They're always like, okay, yeah, I should find a way. I should give up this little bit. And then that way we make an environment where everybody keeps coming and coming and coming. And so that's what we talk about. The first point was sacrifice makes multiplication, but that's where Paul is writing, right? Like, your sacrifice will multiply, not just in laying down your life, but really then bringing everybody in, welcoming everybody, bringing them all the way through. And so I'll end with this last point. Sacrifice builds everyone up. This is 2 Corinthians 8:13-15. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need. That there may be fairness, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Right? So as Paul is writing this, he's like, don't you realize no one thinks they will be the one in need? When you don't want to make a sacrifice, you're like, well, I have everything I won't need. Like, they need to figure it out. Right? But in reality, our goal is to have a community where no one needs a sacrifice now to build that community. And let your actions make disciples that do the same. For me, I've shared a lot. I sacrificed a lot for the first couple of years that I've been at Hawk 3. And so we built up a great environment, great community. For the most part, I live a very peaceful life. Like, it's not very easy to, like, for me to have a hard time. Right? If you understand what I went through, that's where I'm like, everything in this life is really not that challenging. And so for me, I'm always very peaceful, but that's why I'm willing to always sacrifice, though. I want other people to have a good community. And so these last couple months, the last 2 months, my dad actually got cancer. He had throat cancer, and he was going through chemo, radiation, and stuff. And so for me, like, I was already very overworked in my job. Like, my church knows I give a lot, right, to do all these things for the youth. And so I'm always at the, like, I have bare minimum energy left. And so when my dad got sick, like, he lives in San Jose, it's like I had to go to get him and take him to Palo Alto 5 days a week, right? And so he has all these appointments, all these different things. And so sometimes you might be like, hey, I can't do ministry. I have to scale back or do these different things. But when I came to Hawk 3, my goal was to teach them that we're all one family, right? We're one family. I'll make whatever sacrifice needed to prove that. And so it was very easy the first couple of years, but now when my family is in danger, that's the temptation, right? Do I just pull back from ministry? Do I just take care of my family and try to get them through this tough season? And I was like, I can't do that because I said I'm willing to sacrifice everything, my life, whatever it takes. And so I'm going to do both. I got to be able to do both ministry. I got to do ministry the same way I was doing it before, and I got to be there for my dad the same way, the way he needs me to be. And so the beautiful part of when you're sacrificing and multiplying and making disciples, that you get to see that fruit pay off, right? So in these last 2 months, everybody's like, that knows what's been going on, right? They're like, let's pray for your dad. Let's do all this. How can we help you with the youth ministry? How can we, you know, how can we help with the cooking? How can we help with this planning, you know, all this stuff. We had a big youth retreat 2 weeks ago where we do a whole weekend away, right? And that's a huge event, a lot of stuff. And everybody kind of just lined up. We'll let you borrow this vehicle, our vans, this and that. Like, we'll help with the food. We'll help, you know, drive here and there. And then somebody, like a couple people helped me with the planning, doing all the lessons, everything, because they knew I didn't have the energy and time to do it. Does that make sense? But that's where we see, like, now our community was like all disciples that are willing to sacrifice, all disciples that are willing to put their preferences behind and do what's needed for the good of everybody, right? And so that's where we see, like, when we talk about sacrifice, 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 most Christians always think, oh, I'm about to lose something, right? I don't want to sacrifice because I'm going to lose this. This sacrifice is tough because I'm going to lose that. But we never look at what will be gained. What will be gained from our sacrifice? That's the whole point of Jesus and why he goes to the cross. And he kind of shows us, like, God, before he came to the cross, God was losing his family. All his sons and daughters were going away. All of them were, you know, living terrible lives. All of them were, the world was getting worse and worse and worse, right? And they were just going to be going further and further. And he's like, if I sacrifice now, it'll all be gain for me and for my father, right? All our children will be coming back. All my brothers and sisters will be coming back. All these people will start learning how to live for other people, how to put other people's interests first. Everybody will start looking out for each other, start loving each other, doing all this other stuff. Start embracing everybody, right? If you look at the Acts community, when they first get, you know, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, that's how they were, right? Everybody was looking out for each other. It was all gain, 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 gain. And it came from sacrifice. And so for Christians, hopefully, you know, for you guys right now, you understand that. When your sacrifice is presented in front of you, there's nothing to lose. There's a little bit to lose at first, but it's all gain afterwards, right? That's why I shared the stories of the army where there was a lot of sacrifice, a lot of things to lose at first. But I understood God's like, you know what you're going to gain from these experiences? Your faith will be stronger. You've made all these other Christians stronger, 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 right? I got a great sense of purpose of my life when I was sacrificing for them, when I did all those challenges, because I was like, God made me perfectly for these moments. God led my whole life to do these things, right? That's where I was like, God, you really like lead my life so well. You strengthen all these people. You brought them back home all whole, right? All these things. They now know about you more and more and more, right? Like, they're going to pursue you as well. Like, it was just all gain. And so that's where, like, even how I got called to ministry because of that. I was like, man, God really made me for a purpose. Like, I got to find out what it is. It was just gain, 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 right? And so as you understand that, like, hopefully you see that. Sacrifice is a loss at first, but it's because it's going to pay off for something bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I'm not expecting you guys to lay down your lives like everything, but you should start little by little. Be willing to do it. Start looking to Jesus and say, hey, how can I do that? How can I do it to where everybody else wants to do it as well? And so that's where I leave with your applications, right? Ask Jesus for the strength to make the sacrifices when he asks. That's the key part. Like, somebody might ask you to make sacrifices. You don't always have to do what they say, but you got to ask Jesus, what are you asking of him? And he will give you the strength. Everything I've done, I always took it to Jesus for strength, and he always came through. Right, read the Gospels to be inspired by Jesus' sacrifices to make disciples. Look at how he did every little thing, right? All the little ways, and obviously going to the cross, taking all the punishment, doing all this other stuff. The reason why I was able to do all that stuff during the war zones, because I was reading my Bible every night and just reading about Jesus for 2 or 3 hours a day. It was very easy to just follow his footsteps. It's all I knew, all I wanted to do, right? Look for those on the outside, do what is needed to bring them close. And then I have one that's kind of, it's a book I was reading in preparation for this message, but basically it kind of puts it in simple terms, right? Share yourself. Make it your long-term goal to share your resources with others. Think about how you can add value to 5 people in your life this year. They can be family members, colleagues, employees, or friends. Provide resources to help them grow personally, professionally, spiritually, and share your personal journey with them. Right? Doing these little sacrifices, it just starts small. Little by little with everybody that God has put in your life, and you'll be able to see like what community you're building, how that's able to do it. I know as a church, you're going to try to make more disciples, And so hopefully as you go through those materials and start trying to find ways, you always are excited, have a really joyful heart, and like, we're going to see some stuff really grow. We're going to gain a lot from making the sacrifices now. All right, so please join me as we close in prayer. Jesus, we just thank you again for being the ultimate sacrifice, really showing us the ultimate way to live, of how to bring everybody together, how to truly share love, and more importantly, how to show us that sacrifice just is all gain. We just pray that we'll always find the ways and find you to be able to sacrifice for all those in our lives and really continue to build up the communities that you want us to build around us, and more importantly, to build up the faith that you want us to have that will ensure we end up with you in heaven. And so, and also those around us end up in heaven with us. And so we just pray for your strength, for your love, your encouragement, and most of all, your hope as we do all that you ask us to do. And so we just pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
It's the time of our worship where we take our offering. Offering can be done, as you see, through checks or through Zelle. Let me pray for us as we continue with worship. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for a reminder of the importance of sacrifice in our lives. I pray, Lord, as we commit our offering to you, may you bless it and may it be used for your kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that we continue to look for ways not just to offer things as part of our tithe, but offer our time, our resources, and our lives, Lord, for you. Pray, Lord, that you bless the leaders of this church, that they would use it wisely and continue to grow as a community and as Hop 6. Christ, I pray. Amen. Stand for our last song response.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. And as we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. You have called us by your Spirit into worship. And in this temple you have set our hearts aflame. As we lay our hearts upon your holy altar, we'll be blessed in Jesus' name. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Let us cleanse our hearts as we begin to worship. Let us fill our hearts with love for you and sing. Open up our eyes so we may come to know you. And unto us the Spirit bring. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Please be seated.
Next, we have some church matters. There are our small groups and fellowships. So if you're interested in joining, please talk to one of the leaders. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9:55. So if you're in these age ranges, please join us. It's a lot of fun and a lot of things to learn. Prayer meetings is Wednesdays at 8:30. So join us on Zoom to pray about the church, pray for each other, and pray for the world. And it's gonna be men's huddle right after service in the room over there. And yeah, that's it.
I'll just close this in prayer. Father God, we just thank you again for just another day, another wonderful chance to celebrate with you, worship you, and just continue to be reminded of your love and just the sacrifice that you gave to make sure that we were all back to you and always back in your family. We just thank you for all the sacrifices that you make to continue to be with us every single day, continue to just guide us and love us and mentor us and just keep helping us grow in our faith. I just pray for this church that you continue to help them have more heart for you, more heart for Jesus, and just continue to have more heart for the missions and sacrifices that are needed to truly make all the disciples around them. They have all wonderful leaders here, God, that continue to pour out their love and spirit. And I just pray that you continue to inspire all the young adults here, the young youth, to continue to keep that sacrifice going and just keep enjoying that community that you want them to have. And so I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.